This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
And then this mist appeared. Then it ends with, and then this mist appeared.
That's right, a mist appeared. All over my tits.
She's like, it's in my hair.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem like the most sensible response to this idiot?
Give
like,
me a rag, give me a rag, give me a rag, give me a rag, stop. No, yeah. Wet it. God damn it.
Oh, not like that.
But...
God awful movies.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema, or the voices will come again. I'm your host, No Illusions, and sitting 700 miles to my immediate left is my good friend Heath Enright. Heath, welcome back.
They're coming again either way. Thank you, Noah.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
Excited to be here. We're talking about Genesis. Let's do it.
Yeah, and sitting 900 miles to my northeast is my bad friend, Eli Bosnick. Eli, how are you this fine afternoon, sir?
In a world where you're joined by fellow podcasters who know as well the Bible as bad as you do.
That was a tortured construction of a sentence, but you made it. You made it.
How dare you?
And I'm also excited to welcome in.
He's like, give him a second.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He started interrupting you.
He switched to a Yoda voice.
That bit was working so well.
Let him cook.
And I'm also excited to welcome in two brand new guest masochists. Marcus and Deanna are the hosts of The Wrath of Pod, a podcast concept so exceptional, I'm just going to let them tell you what it is. But first, Deanna, Marcus, welcome to God Awful Movies.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
So tell us about your show.
Yeah, so our show, Wrath of Pod, basically imagines a world in which the Bible as a book never happened. It was never released as a book. Instead, it's being released now as a sort of like a streaming service, like on HBO Max or Netflix. It's basically just as it is, but it's streaming. And we're reacting to that episode by episode. We're kind of the snarky after show.
So we talk about all of the insane plot points and the bizarre choices that the characters make. We bring in some behind-the-scenes gossip. We always talk about the really weird names and celebrity cameos. And so join us to go through every episode of The Holy Bible Show.
Fuck yeah. And I haven't had a chance to listen to it myself. I hear from, I have it on good authority that it's quite bingeable.
It is.
Okay. Before we get going today, I want to remind everybody that we were right in the middle of our annual Vulgarity for Charity fundraiser. We are raising money for Recovering from Religion, a fantastic charity that does great work helping people traumatized by their faith. And if that's not enough reason for you to donate, and it should be, we also might tell your brother-in-law to go fuck himself. Find out more by clicking the Vulgarity for Charity tab at recoveringfromreligion.org. And with that out of the way, tell us, Heath, what will we be breaking down today?
We watched Greatest Heroes and Legends of the Bible, The Garden of Eden. It's the story of not the Garden
not
of Eden
even
from
sure
the Bible.
But not.
They just made up a bunch of shit here. It's a cartoon that's supposed to be about that. A lot of different
You're
stuff.
Like this story is like 100 years away from being burned at the stake for telling version of the Bible.
I mean, there are parts of the fucking world where you'd get burned at the stake for it now. And Eli, other than able to get you burned at the stake in some parts of the world, how bad was this movie?
Well,
if you love the traumatizing biblical cartoons of your youth, but you wish its plot was faked through like an unprepared student doing a book report on the back cover of what he was supposed to be reading, you will love this movie. And I do. I love this. When I started to watch the movie, I was like, oh, cartoon. Like, I'm not sure there's going to be enough. I got 0 seconds into this thing before I was like, oh, there is enough.
There's going to be enough.
We will be fine.
Before the cartoon, I have 400 notes. Yes.
Yes.
So is there anything you guys want to nominate this one for being the best at being the worst at?
Yeah, I'm going to go with best worst. Serpent doing bits, like a lot of, yes. Like, I'm going to say best worst Robin Williams attempt.
Mm. Yes.
Whoever was playing the serpent in this movie, they saw Aladdin and they did not understand any of the references from Robin Williams doing voices as the genie. And the guy from this movie was like, lots of voices for no reason.
That's it.
Got
that's
it.
The one
that's
it
what
is.
I will do for this whole movie.
He clearly, like, the whole point here was he was like, I will do the movie, but I will be doing all my voices.
Including the problematic ones.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mostly the problematic ones.
Especially the problematic ones.
Yeah. And Marcus, did you have a best worst for us?
I did, yeah. For me, it's best worst way of getting children excited about your cartoon at the beginning by starting with an old
yes!
man
yes!
in a suit talking down to you. Fantastic. That's
Charles,
how you get the kids.
In the most ostentatious room imaginable. Yeah, it's great. So Deanna, do you have a best worst?
Yeah, mine also about the serpent. I'm going with best worst villain monologue. The serpent talks to Eve and he goes, oh, so Adam told you not, like, who told you not to eat of the fruit? And Eve's like, well, Adam did. And the serpent goes, oh, did he now? And Eve's like, yeah, he did. And the serpent goes, oh, Adam told you not to eat of the fruit, did he? And Eve's like, yes, he did. This goes on for like 5 minutes.
I don't understand our dynamic right.
If anyone wants to know what it's like when I try and fail to gaslight Heath in our working relationship, it's that conversation ship. Me being like, is it though? Yes, I wrote it down. Oh.
Yep.
Yes. Although, okay. Yeah.
It's both here and there.
However, attempted villain monologue is now my new band name.
Ooh, fantastic. Fuck,
that's a good name. Yeah.
All right. So I guess I'll be the first to do fuck stuff. Best worst Christian jerk material. Okay. So this cartoon was clearly made with the knowledge that for some repressed young Christians, this was going to be the closest to porn they were ever going to get. Right. And so there are just several moments where this movie winks at you and it's like, no, go ahead, get your dick out.
You can
go
pause
ahead.
It.
It's fine.
Pause it here. Jerk it off. Do it. Enjoy yourself. And I'm going to go with, I know we've talked about it already, but I do need to touch on it again. Best, worst, not in the Bible. Look.
Yeah,
I get it. You're telling a story from the Bible and you got to tell it for kids. So you soften certain elements, you change certain elements. Maybe you tell the story in a slightly roundabout way. I'm not talking about whether or not like Cain killed Abel with a rock or a stick. I am talking about elephant footprints are the cause of turtles levels of nonsensical.
Is there some wacky shit that happens here? Yeah, some Aesop's level shit happens in this goddamn cartoon. All right, well, I'll tell you what. We've got a Bible to punch up on the other side of this break, so we're going to keep it brief. And when we come back, we'll dive into all the biblical accuracy that isn't. Greatest Heroes and Legends of the Bible, the Garden of Eden.
Okay, what about your shoes, Marcus? Your shoes look nice.
No, man.
No, you can't have our shoes.
Hey, guys. You ready to record the show?
Not really.
Eli's trying to take our stuff.
Damn it, Eli. Did somebody tell you about the economy again?
Okay, first of all, that lady is why I am never going back to Chuck E. Cheese, but no. I want some cool and original gifts for the holidays this year, and what better selection than the actual clothes of our guest masochists? I mean, think about it.
Eli, if you want great gifts for the holidays without buying the same old stuff from big box stores, you should try Uncommon Goods.
What's Uncommon Goods?
Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds that you won't see anywhere else.
But do they have gifts for the whole family?
Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else.
Oh, that actually sounds great.
It is. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date.
That's incredible.
When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out for the holiday season. Don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/awful. That's uncommongoods.com/awful for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
All right, Noah, thanks. I guess you guys can keep your shoes after all.
Wait, you learned about the economy at Chuck E. Cheese?
He thought that the tokens were real gold.
I was misled by the rat.
No, I don't think you were.
You weren't there.
All right, everyone, welcome to the first ever Writer's Room meeting for Greatest Heroes and Legends of the Bible, the Garden of Eden.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
So, for this episode in our series, we're going to be tackling one of the most essential and famous stories of the Bible, the Garden of Eden. Now, before we jump in, I want to thank Steve for bringing in those brownies. I think we're all going to write better thanks to all that fudgy deliciousness that we had.
You guys ate the brownies in the break room?
Yeah. Oh, we sure did, they man. They were great.
Those were pot brownies. I was bringing them to my cousin.
Wait, the brownies had drugs in them?
Who just eats brownies they see lying around? Yes, they did.
No. It's worse than that, man.
How can it be worse than that?
Well, I thought they were normal brownies, so I dropped acid onto them.
Like LSD?
What? Yeah, just 2 drops per brownie.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
Okay. Well, I guess we can still write the movie, though, right? It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm not feeling this too much. It's
the snake pulls his scale off and it turns into blood.
Okay.
Okay.
And we're back for the breakdown of this cartoon, but we're not going to start off with cartoon. We're going to start off with Egyptian artifacts and a globe and just a bunch of stuff that says erudition, right? Like you want in your cartoons.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it looked like they filmed this in a rug store, because if you look, there are, I counted 4 rugs on the floor and a 5th on the wall.
Yes.
And yeah, also one rug in the form of Charlton Heston, the human being.
He's there. Yes. His hair is incredible. It like moves independently of his head. I don't know how they managed it.
Like he has to catch up with it. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, he's clipping through his own hair. Yeah.
It's like a layer in a video game that's just not meshed.
He's very much in his natural environment that I would expect. When you say like, oh, Charlton Heston's going to be there, I'd be like, okay, we're in a museum lair with too many rugs, probably some problematic ones. And we are. We really are.
We are. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I wrote in my notes, Charlton Heston, possibly the OG disappointingly religious actor, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm sorry, I have to point this fucking thing out. In the background, while Charlton Heston is talking to us, and he's doing the, like, oh, I didn't see you there thing, and there is a copper engraving with a very prominent schlong, and it's just crazy that he's not acknowledging it. There's a dick over my shoulder at any yes. point.
Is there a dick almost touching my mouth in the framing? You know, one just gently prodding at my cheek?
I hope so.
Can we talk about Charlton Heston's, oh, I didn't see you there, that he keeps doing for the entire, like,
yes!
8 minutes that
yes!
he's talking? He keeps talking to, like, a different invisible person every half sentence or so, and they had to, like, put cameras everywhere, I guess, to, like, catch it each time. Eventually, they had, like, a half circle of him.
Yeah, he keeps, like, switching angles. It looks like he's fidgeting. It's like he has to go to the bathroom. Yeah. It's like he's the only guy who can't hold it through this introduction, and he has to keep, like, shifting in his chair.
Or what? Maybe that's what it is he just had to keep peeing between every sentence. He's like, gotta pee again. We'll take another take. I'll be looking at a different direction. So,
yeah.
And then, okay, so here's how rich this is with material. We haven't even gotten to what the fuck he's saying yet, right? So he's like, now, if you've ever thought a sunrise was pretty, you probably can't help but be moved by the story of Genesis. And I'm like, I think we can help it, Chuck. What?
Is it that the breeze comes over my hair and I think to myself, man, this is just like when God made the wind over the water without light or the planets yet.
And then that lady betrayed us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time.
So he goes, he's like, people have always tried to solve the mystery of creation. Here's one of the dumbest takes.
Right. And he says, lots of scientists think the world is created by a big bang, but what made the explosion? And I wrote, I mean, it wasn't 2 naked people in a garden, Chuck.
No, it was a giant floating eyeball. Weren't you paying attention?
Yes, right. Obviously. Obviously. The Eye of Sauron, but the whitewashed version, yeah. So
there will be a Cyclops god. That I didn't remember that from the Bible for sure. They
you gotta
did not
pay
mention
attention.
A Cyclops
you gotta,
god
they,
in
so
a
So apparently
sun
they
cloud.
Cast that eyeball from the back of the dollar bill to play the part of God in this movie for whatever reason.
I have the same note. The dollar bill called. It's biting off its style. It's not happy about this.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think the Illuminati connection is probably pretty apt.
Oh, right.
Christianity
for sure.
And is a
Jewish
Ponzi
connection.
Scheme,
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And then he's like, Charlton Heston, he's like, you know, and everything was great in Eden until the serpent came along. And I'm like, spoilers?
Yeah, yes. Seriously. You're going to tell us the whole story? You're ruining it. He also says something here that I'm very curious about. He goes, we're not sure why the serpent wanted Eve to eat the apple. And I wrote, really? That's what you're not sure about, Charlton Heston? That's the part of the story that doesn't quite add up for you?
Yeah, I also thought he's coming dangerously close to self-awareness there, Charlton. That bit of uncertainty.
Yes, yes, we're not. Actually, it doesn't make any fucking sense at all if you think about it.
And the writers of this atrocity did not think to make up a reason. They made up so much other random shit that didn't actually happen in the Bible for the sake of this children's movie. But that one, this big plot point,
so
like
much.
They just did not have the creativity to come up with something to cover
including
that.
Cyclops God. That was interesting, at least, yeah. By the way, I looked up Charlton Heston. He had, in real life, Q-level clearance for about 6 years because he...
What?
He apparently worked for the DOD, the Department of War now. Maybe it was defense back then. And he acted out instructional videos about nuclear technology. So he was like, the narrator voice was like, oh, hello there. You spread the uranium on the thing with the uranium, like spread some butter and then again, stick it into the whatever. Yeah, he did that for 6 years.
Oh, God, please tell me those are declassified at this point.
Please, somebody put those on YouTube. Somebody out there, please put those on YouTube. I'm begging you.
Please tell me he started with in this room doing this 2.5 monologue.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'd love to be in the room for that.
You'll notice the carpet behind me is on fire. That's thanks to uranium-432.
Yeah, right. So then, just as you're trying to get your head around this whole weird, bizarre thing that's happening, Charlton Heston says, we're going to go on the journey together, but don't worry, my good friend Simon will be with you. And we're like, the fuck? And it shows us cartoon Simon with cartoon Gimel the camel?
Yeah.
He's been waiting in the void for us and the universe.
The void. We learned that right away. Like, this guy was just like, hell, thank God somebody showed up fucking hanging out in the void with this camel forever. And
I have been beyond madness for an eternity. I am so glad you guys are here.
That's going to be the narrator.
Yeah.
But Simon says, he's like, oh, hello there. I also didn't see you there. We are at the beginning of time itself. And I'm like, well, then how are you there? Makes no fucking sense.
Because it's meta, because there's a narrator, and then the narrator introduces another narrator. Yeah. And it's just narrators all the way down.
Simon Castehurst, exactly.
Keeping up, kids?
Big Bangs and Turtles all the way down. We're going to learn about turtles.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yep.
So then we get the first of the two incompatible creation stories that the Book of Genesis opens with, and we actually see these poor animators try to draw God's face moving upon the waters.
Yes, exactly. And I want to point out that, like, when we talk about, oh, this movie makes stuff up, it's not the impossible task of God's face moving upon the waters before planets and oceans and land exists. It's going to get way wackier, but this first attempt is so pathetic. He goes, God created the sky. And I'm like, really, Simon? What were we watching you in before? And he's like, shut the fuck up. Hey,
question for the room here. Did everyone find God's vibes to be way more sexual than you expected about creating, like, plants and air?
Okay.
Was he not?
Interesting.
Yes. Oh, especially the God plants. Was flirting with those fucking sunflowers, right?
Yeah, oh my God. The scene with the sunflowers is so trippy. It's like Disney's Fantasia, and then they, like, photocopied it 100 times, and I don't even know what happened next.
And then they kill the sunflowers.
Okay, yes. That was crazy.
He
blasts it with a laser and all of their heads tear off.
Literally, mm-hmm. And we watch a sunflower be like, you chopped my fucking head! Oh, it's cool.
Well,
it's cool.
And it is. It is. It's like the sunflowers are clearly not into it, right? It's not like, oh, I've been freed from my stalk. It's like, hey, what the fuck did you just do?
Yes. And then they fly up into the air, and I paused it to confirm. Then those sunflowers form a swastika.
Unmistakable swastika.
An unmistakable swastika.
Hindu cross, Eli.
Of severed sunflower heads. And I think that's supposed to be how the sun was created?
Yes, turn into the sun. So that's the level of shit that they make up in this movie, right? Like, so then God's like, they're like, on the third day, God created the sun. And we watch him do that by decapitating sunflowers with smiley faces and forming those into the sun.
And just as a coincidence, that type of flower ended up being named sunflower later.
Yes.
And that came after he'd actually said, you're a lovely little thing. So it's like, you're a lovely little thing. Let me decapitate you now.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like partly sexual vibes and partly like Buffalo Bill, like serial killer
sure
vibes
was.
In here.
Yes.
Yeah, equal
very
parts.
Upsetting.
So, and then he's like, you know, and on the fifth day, God made the sea creatures. And I'm like, well, did he do it in an insane fucking way? And they're like, sure did. Blew them all out of an orca's blowhole, he did.
Yep.
Yes, a whale appears and shoots all other fish out of its blowhole.
Yes.
Right. And then those fish are swimming around, and then sharks apparently get made after that. Sharks chase the little fish, and the little fish are running away, and they're like, no, it's cool. We're tigers now, because they run onto a beach, and they're immediately tigers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they turned into tigers and ran onto the beach, I wrote in my notes, at least they don't believe in something silly like evolution, though. Am I right?
Yeah. This is what happens when you cancel evolution in public schools and also when you have watched The Little Mermaid on acid.
Yeah, clearly.
I kept like just waiting for Ariel to show up. They have these like snappy clams under the water that are clearly doing a rhythm and they're like, we're just waiting. We're waiting for our cue. Come on, like when's the music going to start?
Come on,
see, there you go.
Come on, you guys
this
know.
Is where the elephant footprints turn into the turtles as well.
What? Mm-hmm. Weird yep. choices
it's
this cartoon.
Circle of life.
Wrong, yeah. Wrong Disney cartoon. I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's just all enough, bad.
And they forgot
Disney
to show when God was putting the dinosaur skeletons in the ground just to fuck with all of the future humans. That's what I was waiting for.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I wrote, and then God aged the carbon just as a fun prank.
Right.
But then the narrator cuts in and says, and I quote, on the sixth day, God had another idea.
All right, day six. I got a suite. Nobody's here. All right, just brainstorming. Talking birds so they can talk to me about my sweet ideas.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Can we talk about these crows for a second? Because there's this trio of crows. I think they're the crows from Dumbo because they just mashed up all the Disney movies. They're the only black characters. And the very first thing that we see happen is that a very white god chases them away from their real estate.
Oh, my God.
Literally, yes.
He gentrifies that dust patch, doesn't he? Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they're like pecking around in the dust. And God says, stand back. And like, I need this pack of dust.
His actual quote is, to a fucking bunch of crows, God says, gentlemen, please step back a few paces.
Yeah, why? Which is, why does God need them to stand back? Can he not aim his golden shower properly? Like,
God was standing his ground.
Oh, no.
It's a crazy, there are so many crazy implications about things that this God needs to happen in order to create the world. And then again, about Genesis, the creation story that is foundational to the Bible, this cartoon just fucking wings God saying, golden flames of life, I command you, which I cannot emphasize enough, is not at all
nope.
in the Bible.
No.
No.
Also, but yeah, the omnipotent God being like, also, I need you to scooch is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to ask them to move. You're fucking God. You could, like, make them disappear or turn them into a pot of geraniums and a surprise-looking whale. Like, you could do fucking anything. But no, it's like, excuse me, stand
Or, you know, what else you could do is use different fucking dust. You needed that particular fucking dust because he picks up the dust and he turns it into a fucking dust tornado. He carries the dust tornado a mile and a half down the road and he assembles Adam there.
Is that in the Bible?
I mean, he's made of dust.
Yes.
A dust tornado?
Yes, the Tasmanian devil is definitely in the Bible.
That was in the Bible. Okay.
God loves a show, and he could have easily just clicked his fingers, had man appear, but he's like, you know what? I feel like I need some Tasmanian devil energy in this area, and here we go.
Yeah, you kind of expect Adam to come out like snarling like the Tasmanian devil. You're like, Adam, I've created you.
That would have been fantastic.
Ow.
Yeah. But we also see, a bunch of the other animals that are already there, and it's like, they're clearly in like African safari land. And he's like, all right, I'll make a white guy now. And we see white Adam pop out.
Yeah, his head specifically. He starts in the head, and then he has like a tornado covering up his junk.
Well, so, okay, so there's going to be a lot of Austin powering around his junk at the beginning of this. Less and less as we go, though, right? They come closer and closer to showing us his Ken patch as we go. But the dust swirling draws a crowd of animals together, right? So they all like they all watch him, and they're all like staring right at his dick in the cartoon, right? Mm-hmm. No idea why the animators chose to do that. But then God's like Adam, and Adam's like, I don't even know that's my fucking name yet, man.
Yeah, he goes, is that my name? And he's like, I mean, if you didn't know it was your name, why did you turn and answer to it? Relax. You don't have to do a fucking robot that just became aware bit.
And it was at this point that I actually realized, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I actually was thinking about giving the show some props because I noticed Adam doesn't have a belly button at this point.
Oh,
and I thought, they thought this through. Umbilical cord, why would he have a belly button? But then about a third of the way through, it suddenly appears. The animators decide, actually, we meant to put that in and start putting that in.
Yeah, it was just laziness, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They just got lucky.
Yeah.
It's canonical Bible. Okay.
So
Adam has a belly button.
So, and then, but then God is like super braggy. He's like, yeah, maybe you've noticed the trees. That was me. I did trees. That was I'm pretty proud of that. No, mountains, no?
Happy trees.
Clouds.
Happy little trees.
Yeah, there you go. but then God disappears.
He Batmans Adam for some reason.
Yeah.
Adam's like, okay, he's gone.
So finally I have someone to talk. Wait, where are
we? Got like four sentences explaining all of the universe, but that's cool. I can
And
wait.
Then he took a day off. Right? Mm-hmm. Simon cuts in to explain that God took the day off immediately after creating Adam, like Victor fucking Frankenstein.
And before that, part of this conversation from Adam and God is God says, I've created you in my image. And then Adam says the only intelligent thing that he says in this entire movie is, but I don't look like you.
You're an eye from the back of the dollar bill.
You mean a sun cyclops? Yeah.
You're the eye of Sauron and I look like a Ken doll. Like, what's going on? And God's response to this is, looks can be deceiving.
Also, shut up. I'm taking a day off after this.
How can looks be deceiving about what something looks like, though, right? Yeah. Like, that's not how that works. Yeah. But he takes a day off. So we watch Adam Austin powering his way through the wilderness, presumably looking for a helpmeet.
Also, can I just say, how much better would this movie have been with the Austin Powers soundtrack while he's doing this?
Yeah.
Just like replay the whole thing and put that on in the background.
There you go.
And, like,
yeah,
exactly. It will fix everything, I promise.
And absolutely.
We have this weird, again, there's no reason for this. This weird montage where Adam's trying to figure out what animal skills he has. Right?
Yep.
Like he sees a bird flying and he can't fly. He sees a bear catch fish and he can't catch fish. And the animals all gather around to give him everyone special in their own way pep talk. It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah,
it's totally weird.
I wondered when he was trying to fly, I was like, helicopter your dick!
sadly.
That totally works.
This is the time we see the frog eat the fly. Every other animal has had a little moment that we've seen where they speak to the camera or whatever and say their little story. I didn't get the flies before he was digested savagely by the frog. Yes.
Great point. And I just, again, I hesitate to give any praise to this show, and I think this was accidental, but there's this visual pun where Adam is walking naked past a bunch of bears. And I'm like, I get, because he's bear, right? Because he's naked, and the bear,
If he was later behind a cock or something like that, I might think
should have done it, but no, they got cold feet.
And then so he turns to God and he's like, God, I haven't figured out what I'm useful at, you know, especially since in this world all the other animals can talk and shit. And God says, actually, your job is to take care of everything in the garden. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. I'm one day old, man. Fuck.
Well, actually, it's weirder than that. He goes, okay, and then immediately goes to sleep.
Yes.
At which
yes.
point I wrote in my notes, Heath, are you Adam from the Bible? Tell us.
Also, he is 100% getting a blowjob from a rabbit at this point.
Yep.
Because the Austin Powers of this moment is that he's lying down and sleeping on the grass while all of the other animals are standing around watching, and there is a rabbit positioned directly in front of his dick.
Yeah, that see, that's why you got to get to the animal circle around Adam early, right. Otherwise you got to be dick covered. Yes.
And there's one hanging creature. This is an actual informational question about this movie. There's one creature that is hanging from its tail from a branch as they're all like announcing that they do different things. What the fuck is that supposed to be? Is that a monkey? Lemur? Is it like a, yeah, it's like an opossum?
I think it was supposed to be a lemur, but right. It was weird because everything else is like, you know, zebra, giraffe, elephant, moose or whatever, like, you know, the stuff that you would give to a kid on the, like, you know, what sound does this make toy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, this weird ass fucking thing. Yeah. Also, as we're moving on and on. So like this, we get to where Adam wakes up the next day and this movie is getting closer and closer to showing us his dick. Like at this point we know that he manscapes when he wakes up. Right.
Yeah.
And this is also where like the movie fully, like the acid starts to kick in. I think at this point,
absolutely.
Right. Because this is where he looks in the reflection, his reflection in the water, and he sees a bunch of hymns and he's like, will you play with me? And they all start talking to him.
Yeah. And singing. There's like a barbershop quartet of reflections. He says, what is your name? And they go, Adam, 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 Adam. Yeah. He is so stupid. He does not know what a reflection is.
And this is immediately before he says, there's no one to talk to. You just chatted with 8 reflections. He's not the brightest.
Well, mm-hmm. And also like a moose and a frog and a bear, like all the animals can talk. It's so weird for him to be talking about moping about how there's nobody to talk to at this in this weird.
Maybe he was expecting to see a sun cyclops in the reflection.
Yeah, right. Oh, there you go.
He's just like, okay. Exactly. Well, this is weird.
He's such a teenager, though. He's like, I'm so bored. Everything sucks. It's no fun taking care of the garden. Like, dude, thing one, you've done literally nothing to take care of the garden. Thing two, there are talking animals around. If it was just like talking animals and acid trippy talking reflections, I would never be bored again in my life.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, he's going like, this is no fun. Everything's perfect. And I'm like, well, it's that those two don't match. Right?
Yeah.
But then a very bassy moose tells him to go talk to God about it. Right? So he goes, tells God that he's lonely, and God says, go to sleep, man. And I'm like, dude, what?
Okay, did Adam not say, hey, God, I'm super lonely, and then immediately lay back and open his legs up? Where's that rabbit from
was
earlier?
Was I crazy?
Pretty sure
there
that's what happened.
Couple of
it's
nods.
Funny if all of you are like, no, yes. Weirdo. But I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I wish I'd read your notes over before we podcasted. I would have texted everybody, I need you to know and this really hard on air.
But so he wakes up from God putting him to sleep there, and he sees Eve standing there with her hair conveniently draped over her boobies.
In a cloud of bong smoke as well.
Yep,
like the whole scene gets really smoky, like you're inside a hookah bar, and then Eve like appears from behind the hill.
Yeah. And she, honestly, I know it's just that they're bad animators, but when he introduces himself, she looks as uninterested as the girl from the uninterested girl meme.
She really does. Yes. He might as well be shouting an inch from her face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. And then he goes, oh, you're in the Garden of Eden. It's great. There's so much to do. And we're like, you were just talking about how there's nothing to fucking do. You fucking liar.
No, but you know when like you find the only hot girl in your hometown and all of a sudden you're really trying to sell them on Speedies and Skate Estate. Yes. I get it.
All right.
Eli, I would like to hold you in the
Thank
light right
you,
now.
Thank you, Beefleton, Marcus,
Holding
Deanna,
space
please leave.
For you. Defying
okay,
gravity.
We're all here for you.
Thank you.
Well, now you're making it awkward that I'm about to do the throw, right? Because we're leaving for him. All right. Well, I think that these two could use a little of alone time, by which I mean Adam and Eve, not Heath and Eli. So we're going to take a quick break. Well, those two. Yeah, those two.
Everybody.
Two. But we'll be back in a minute with even more of Greatest Heroes and Legends of the Bible, Adam and Eve.
Time of my life. I wasn't sure what you were singing, so I went with Time of My Life.
I don't sing very well. It's hard to. It's wicked. Stupid. And the meme. It's not Hammer and Dongs?
Why would it be Hammer and Dongs?
That's what I keep telling him.
Hey, you guys ready to keep doing the show?
Oh, hey, Eli. You look, let's say, layered.
Yeah, when you said you wanted to grab a bite after the show, I wasn't sure what you meant or, like, what kind of dress it would be, like, how formal or what the weather would be like. So I just brought all my clothes and wore them.
Like the Friends episode?
Friends doesn't own wearing all the clothes, Heath.
It kind of does.
Look, Eli, if you want a great fit for fall that works for every occasion, why don't you just try Quince?
What's Quince?
This season's lineup is simple but smart and easy with Quince. $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters that feel like an everyday luxury and wool coats that are equal parts stylish and durable.
$50? How do they manage that?
By partnering directly with ethical factories and top artisans, Quince cuts out the middleman to deliver premium quality at half the cost of other high-end brands, so you can give luxury quality pieces without the luxury price tag.
Okay, but have you actually tried it?
I sure have. Quince sent us some stuff to try when they became a sponsor. I love how their sweaters kept me cozy and stylish at the same time. That's why I, No Illusions, personally endorse Quince.
All right, Noah, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Give and get timeless holiday staples that last this season with Quince. Go to quince.com/awful for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/awful. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/awful.
All right, guys, thanks. I guess I'll go get out of these clothes.
Yeah, you might want to shower, too. That'd be great.
Am I sweaty?
Yeah, like really sweaty.
Thank you, Marcus. A yes would have been fine.
Could you be any more sweaty?
How dare you?
I'm just saying, if it's swelling, you should get it checked out.
Okay, but not in a bad way.
How could it not be in a bad way?
Adam, Eve, it is I, God.
Where have you been, Lord?
Yes, the sun has set and risen since we saw you last.
Indeed, for it was the seventh day of creation, and I rested.
You rested? Like, slept?
Yes.
So, you need to sleep?
Well, no, I don't need to sleep, but I just created the whole universe, and I... Well, yeah, I needed a break, okay?
Sorry, the implications of you needing a break are staggering.
Yeah, do you have, like, a finite amount of energy?
Oh, my God, what are you guys, Amazon? I took a little break, okay?
So if it wasn't to sleep, and you don't have a finite amount of energy, what were you doing?
Okay, have I told you guys about Stardew Valley?
No.
Okay, so it's like a... You know what? Never mind.
Okay.
And we're back for more of this shit. We're going to open up on Eve drinking in the establishing shot we've already seen. I haven't mentioned this yet, but they will reuse so goddamn much animation in this fucking movie. The actual animation is 15 minutes long, right?
Yeah. Anybody who has ever worked for Hanna-Barbera is just weeping into their tea at the quality of this animation. They're like...
And Eve has a very weird, sporadic knowledge. Like, she looks up and she knows exactly what the stars are, but then Adam's stomach rumbles and she's like, what the fuck was that?
Yes! This whole movie is just a bizarre mix of them being incredibly smart and them being incredibly, well, not incredibly smart. Them being, like, having one thing to say that's reasonably intelligent and everything else they're so fucking dumb about.
Also, there's sort of a mix of wacky and... Fall of Man, that seems like a bit of a juxtaposition.
Yeah, it is an odd contrast. Okay, the next thing that happens is so weird that I Googled, was this based on a non-English series and then like poorly translated? So here's what happens. They see some strawberries in a strawberry tree and
right.
Adam says, oh, I can't reach. Would you mind? And then he shakes the tree. What did she do to facilitate
him? Would you mind
him?
What? Yes, exactly, yeah.
I wanted it to, like, pan down and he's banging her against the side of the tree.
Well, they do cut away from the two of them. He says, do you mind? And then it cuts to a shot of the tree. We don't actually see Adam and Eve at that point. Whatever
so
they
maybe he's
doing.
Fucking her against the tree and that's what's not getting...
Yeah, quite possible. Yeah, and strawberries go on trees, and this is what can happen when humans and dinosaurs coexist.
Yeah, you see, before the fall of man, the strawberries just grew on trees. So, okay, now it's the next morning. Eve is affixing her hair to her nipples, as she does every morning, I guess. And Adam wakes up having dreamed about God taking his rib. And then he jerks off a stick.
Yeah.
He sure does.
That's not a crazy thing, Noah said. That's what happens in the movie.
Yeah. Yes. So what he's supposed to be illustrating the process by which God turned Adam's rib into a stick, but it's just him running his hand up and down it, right?
Fucking way the animator wasn't going for Adam jerks off a stick. Nothing will ever convince me that this animator wasn't going for jerking off.
And the voice actor also was like, God took my bone and then jerked it up and down like this with a hand and then blew it.
Blew
and
I was like, what the fuck is that? Blew it! Yeah.
And then this mist appeared. Then it ends with, and then this mist appeared.
That's right, a mist appeared! All over my tits.
She's like, it's in my hair.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem like the most sensible response to this idiot?
Give me a rag. Give me a rag. Give me a rag. Give me a rag. Stop.
No, wet it. God damn it.
Oh, not like that.
But.
Run away, Eve. Run away.
Eve runs away and she says, and I quote, catch me or don't if you can, or you're a rib or a ribless man.
Okay, I wrote that exactly down too. I have those same words. I'm not crazy. That's exactly what happened. What did that mean?
I would like not for us not to say it a third time because I feel like it's going to conjure us something that this cartoon was created to do. Yeah,
the first line, catch me or don't if you can't, it has to be one or the other, right? There's no superposition where you both can and can't catch me, right?
Hold on. Is quantum mechanics in the Bible?
Well, yeah, it's as much as most of this shit is, yeah.
I needed Adam to be like, hey, time out. Fucking what? What did you just say? That was insane, right? We're not skating past that. That was crazy. Sounded
good in my head.
Here's a washcloth. Really sorry about that.
And then they commit to a lifelong relationship days after meeting one another, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Two days after first meeting, and yet somehow one day after God created her. Did you notice this timing? Eve shows up and then they go to sleep and he shows her around the garden and then they go to sleep again. And then Adam says, oh, I had the weirdest dream last night. And then he jerks off the rod. Right. Like, why?
Like they animated it out of order. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And after we see all the jerking of the rod, he actually says, do you see any scars or holes? And then shows her his ass. Like, Adam, I see a hole. It's brown. It's right there.
It's still happening.
In the movie, in this cartoon for children.
Also,
small thing, but they never address the itchiness of this whole scenario.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're just walking inside of bushes and they're sleeping on grass. Like, you gotta.
This is why
that.
Eden is perfect. There's no itching.
Not enough clearly. Swamp ass.
No,
yeah, exactly.
No jock itch in Eden.
That was what I thought was missing from this cartoon, Heath. I'm so glad you brought it up.
You got a rash. So, okay.
Yeah. I'm not in the Garden of Eden. That's fucking cold reading.
That was pretty hot reading. So
you know I always have a rash. Really? In front of our guests? This is their first time.
I'm getting an uncomfortable, itchy skin thing from somebody. Maybe it
Stop! Not in front of Marcus. Marcus, you're our backup Marsh. I need you to like me more.
Oh, no.
I'm getting IBS.
Okay, so... Wow. So the next day, they're out for a swim, talking about how awesome their lives are. And Eve is like, wow, look at that gorgeous tree of knowledge of good and evil over there. I bet that'll come in important later on in the cartoon.
It's Chekhov's tree of good and evil.
Right. Well, and then Eve is like, there's this great moment where Eve's like, look at all those animals. And then we pan over and it's exactly four animals, only one of which is moving. Never have I more felt like an animator was telling a writer to eat a dick, right?
There are like six animals in this whole movie. It's like a bad Noah's Ark ripoff.
Yeah. I almost went with best worst attempt to, or like pretending there's way more animals here than there are. Yeah. It's like a sad circus. So, and then like some hippos come along, and so they ride the hippos. Eve does not ride that hippo side saddle, right? So she's having a great time.
Oh no, she spreads for that hippo.
Fuck yeah. And then they're like, well, I'd love to thank you, hippos, but I don't know your names. And God's like, oh, I've been meaning to get to that. I just showed up. I'm back. Name all the animals.
These stupid people. Adam's like, Scombert and Chine and Hippopotamus. He's making up noises.
The very Theremin. First thing he goes for is hippopotamus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he just happened to make a random noise that would later mean river horse in a future language.
Future language. Yeah, no, it's wow. It's a hell of a call forward. He
well, they actually they built the language around hippopotamus.
And sunflower, sure. Yeah.
I also want to point this out, that the way God shows up to tell them to name the animals feels like a panicky correction, right? Because
yes.
They're like, what are the animals called? And he's like, hey guys, you don't get that yet because it's a couple thousand years. It's fine. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed
you okay?
to do it. I didn't forget. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Yep.
I was not pooping.
You want me to hold your hair back?
Nope. I'm all right. Not in front of Marcus. He's the backup Marsh.
Did you want to use this washcloth? Because I still have it from before.
No. Also, it smells like jungle juice.
So there's a great. He says, you know, you got to name all the animals. And Eve goes, but there are so many. And I wrote, no, there's only four. So,
yeah, there should be like 15 hours just of naming bugs.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
This movie should never have ended if they'd lined up all the animals that they have to name. But they're like, fish, giraffe. elephant. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, but he's trying to separate exactly two bugs for the arc. I'd never thought about this, but like, you know, you got like a bunch and you're like, just those two, just two. God, a bunch of them went in. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all creative with hippopotamus now, but not too long. They're going to be like, yeah, you're fly. You're anteater.
Yeah, right.
You're sea cow. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
No, like actual question. If this was your job, like you're on the hippos and you're like, okay, God has just given me the job of naming the hippos. Like, what would you name them? They're like gray, swimmy, blobby thing. That is your name.
I think I would have gone with hippopotamus. I think I would have come up with that.
I might have said like flump. It would have been like onomatopoetic, you know? It would have been like a noise. Sure. I would have panicked probably.
I would have done overly cute names because I'm a pug guy. So a bunch of scientists would be forced for the rest of history to be like, he, Mr. Man, Mr. Man, have face, which of course is different than little gentleman. It's subspecies.
Yes. Scientists will be arguing about this at conferences for generations.
Yes, right.
Thick, Quinselberry. I'm not done yet. The third.
So Adam, he calls all the animals together to get their names, and they line up in pairs, and we cut to Simon and Gimel the camel. They're like up on a cliff watching all this happen.
They're on the Pride Rock spot. Come on.
They are.
With all of the cheap Disney references.
Aren't
we've got
we,
them
though?
Up there and all of the animals down below.
And I want to point out that at this point, there's no conveniently placed bush. We're just so far away that we can't see Adam and Eve's junk. But like... Simon Cannon, he's just
Simon
a kid, right?
Like,
he's got a lot
of
dick.
He's been waiting in the void for an eternity to see that junk, I'll have you know.
Yeah, right, yeah. And then there's a song.
Okay. I started thinking about Peter Singer being like, well, technically, he was in the void for infinity, so is he
so
a child
he's
at
actually
this point?
I don't know if that's totally cool. Simon, if you want to get fucked by that
can
camel,
you fuck it
I just I keep bringing up how cool I think it is. Boy, oh boy, do I keep bringing up how
okay,
cool
so
I think it is.
This is not what the song was about at all.
I wish it's what the song was. Okay, look, here's
if
the
if you
problem.
Play it backwards, though, it definitely
yes, it's about Peter Singer saying get fucked by. Here's the thing. We have made the joke before on this podcast that the lyrics are insipid, that the song is bad. And I would not have made any of those jokes if I knew that I would someday have to describe to you, podcast listener, how bad this song is. It
I mean, it is trying to hide a bomb behind your back's level poorly written. And here on the Garden of Eden, it's beautiful. There's a,
the kid misses a note so bad that the cartoons react to it at one point.
Yeah, there's a lot of camel react in here.
Yeah. There's also the lyrics are so insipid. Listen to how close these lyrics get to live, laugh, love. Okay, these are actual lyrics. To live, to give, to know, to love. They almost hit it.
Which
the
means
no
they
is
went...
definitely biblically no. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page with
that. Makes sense. That makes sense.
That lyric means that they went to live, to give, to know, to... Fuck. If, snow. Briv, blow.
Shiv. Siv.
Jovo.
Hippo.
No. Hippo. Hippo. All right. I'll tell you what. We'll say love for right now. I bet you there was some jerk in the room who was like, what about love? And they were like, fuck.
And then they end with a couple of weird attempts to show a long line of animals without actually drawing a long line of animals again. Mm-hmm. And then, then later we got Adam walking around and a bunch of bees turn into the eye of Sauron God.
Yes. So what we are learning, you know, biblically speaking, is that God is constituted of bees.
Yes.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
Yes.
He's a bee.
Absolutely. God appears out of a swarm of bees. You need to ask questions when things appear out of
man,
bees.
Hey, man, are you that's bees? Not like, that's my first question. Have you been bees this
I'm
whole time?
I'm pretty sure you're bees. And you be honest, are you bees? You have to tell me.
No. I'll pick the animal that stings. That's sort of my whole deal.
Show me your
that's
stinger.
My
show me your stinger.
Are you a swarm of bees with a bomb behind your back right now singing a song?
So... But God's like, hey, I meant to tell you this earlier. Don't eat from that tree from earlier. That is the forbidden tree. And if you eat from it, you surely will die.
Right.
And no amount of familiarity with this story can make that not weird as fuck.
Right. Now, to be clear, they chose a somewhat more bizarre way to entertain this plot. Because if you remember, in the Bible, God says, you can eat all the trees except for one, which is still weird as opposed to, hey, what's going on? I just had to form out of some bees. They're all dead. They didn't have souls.
Colony collapse. This is probably...
Don't eat from that tree. Mm-hmm.
But you can eat from any of the other trees.
Are you bees? It's not because there's a bunch of bee porn up there in the branches. It is not an erotic cut of
bee
the bee
porn
movie.
Is off the hook. There's only one queen.
Yeah.
There's all the rest of the drones. Oh, yeah, I went there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bee cocky.
Royal
so
jelly.
Then I... Thank you.
The way Noah struggled inwardly between making that joke and the cleverness of that joke, it forced its way out of him like a demon in an exorcism. Be cocky, I thought of it, and now I said it. God damn it. Got to do 6 diatribes to make up for being
So then we have this weird, like normally I'd leave it out, but it's too weird to leave out scene where Adam drinks water from a leaf so his face turns blue.
Gray. So there's this miscommunication here. He's like licking water that's dripping off a leaf. And his face turns gray. It's not just me, right? Like
that
definitely
was gray.
That
it's
color
definitely, absolutely
it's
definitely
gray. Gray. And then Eve is sitting next to him and gives this little like high school giggle, like, "Oh, your face is blue." I'm like, what? No, it's not. They like could not afford the color. Like
that's it. That's gotta be it. Because she says specifically, "Your face is bright blue," and I'm like, "Oh, I guess that ink was more expensive than the gray ink that they went with." But then he washes his face off, and that never comes back. And we have to, for the rest of our lives, wonder what the fuck that was all about. Mm-hmm. But this is where he passes on the news about not eating from the forbidden tree. Meanwhile, the serpent watches on. Now, this is a snake, but it still has its legs, and it has a fucking beak and weird dragon flaps for some reason.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So I actually know why the serpent looks so fucking dumb here. All right. So there is an ahistorical, abiblical belief that serpent means dragon among very small sects of Christianity.
Sure.
And I promise you, someone involved with this movie is one of those wackos. They lost a fight to 2003 Dan McClellan, and they were like, you know what? In my movie, the serpent, quote unquote, is going to be a fucking dragon. And
that, yeah. Only turn- yeah.
Dragon caterpillar specifically, because it has eight pairs of legs.
Shapeshifter dragon caterpillar.
Right, with a spiky mace at the end of its tail. Like, for shits and giggles, just like put that on there.
Why the fuck not? Yeah. So yeah, but then
did we skip the flamingos playing moonball scene? Because we cannot skip the flamingos.
No, we're almost there. We're almost there.
I think that's about to happen.
We would never.
I have lots of questions.
So yeah, so the serpent laughs as they're going like, yeah, we'll never eat from the tree. The serpent goes, bwah ha ha ha. Right. So and then we get Adam and Eve coming across some flamingos, and the fucking, at this point, the animators have just given up on the obstructed nudity thing. They show us Adam's Ken patch at this point. But he sees a couple of flamingos and he goes, they're playing moon ball because they're kicking at the water where the moon is.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then, and I was like, oh, kind of cute. But then they kick the actual moon out of the water into the sky.
And into space. We zoom all the way
and
out.
It orbits.
Into space. Orbit around Earth. How surprised was everybody in this room that Earth was actually around?
I was surprised. Is that how the moon was created, according to this narrative?
I guess.
Is that what they're going for?
Again, not in the fucking Bible.
Okay, right? I didn't think in the Bible, but more importantly, how is that a game? Like, he says they're playing moonball. What are the fucking rules of this game? Thank you. How do you win this game?
I think by kicking it into orbit, like, I feel like that flamingo won, right? Like, I don't know how the point system works.
It's like the slowest game ever, because the moon does move, so you do have to kick it in different places, but it just takes an enormous amount of time. I guess if you're living there forever, sure.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a British sport, is it?
Yeah, there you go.
How long has the game of cricket been going on?
We still have them running right now, it's true.
Yes.
What if the other one kicks a moon that, like, does better, like orbits faster or something.
Yeah, right. And what's better, faster or bigger? Yeah. So, okay. But then, so they play some moonball, and then Simon the narrator cuts in to promise that something will eventually happen in this story. Like, that's it. His actual words are, something was about to happen.
I promise.
Trust us, kids.
You know, I hear that can be sexy, right? Like, you describe what you're about to do before you do it.
Okay, all right, there you go.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
There were 1,000 years where me and Galil just screamed, and then and then our voices died, and the silence was louder than our screams. Anyways, back to what Adam and Eve are up to.
We cut to the serpent in the serpent lair. Now, I don't know exactly at what point in this script the acid kicked in, but I know when it peaked. Right? The serpent, first of all, is just, as we said before, he's just doing a series of voices, right? Like, alphabetically.
Right, but Donald James Parker voices, right? Like, it's not like, none of them are recognizable. It's always like, because I literally can't do it because I'm going to accidentally do a touchstone. It's always like, and there's my hamburger. You're like, I don't get that.
Like, he's just trying on different potential taglines or whatever, yeah. And as he's doing this, he's trying on different scale patterns on his belly, like shape-shifting scale patterns, like in the Bible.
Yep.
Eli, be honest, before you go to bed, and you not practice like new voices a little bit like this, just like this, just like
I shall not tell a lie. This is absolutely what I do.
Okay.
I do take off one of my scales and it turns a river into blood. Next
well, that's the other thing, right?
Yeah, I thought we agreed not to talk about this at work.
What the fuck was just happening?
Eli and Don Ford sitting back to back.
But yeah, so the dragon plucks a scale off his belly. It turns into a gem. He drops it into the water. The water turns to blood. We all check to see, like, make sure that, like, we could still read and that, you know, that we weren't in a dream state.
So we start pinching ourselves while we're
all
watching
the drugs
it,
yeah. caught up with me at once. But then he's like, ah, I have an idea. He looks in the water and he sees Eve's reflection and he goes, right.
I called Eli and I was like, I'm not an asshole. And he's like, oh, are you in that scene?
Oh, yeah, you're in the other scene. Yeah, I know where
you are.
So, but also, the soundtrack kept teasing us as though he was about to sing a tempting Eve song, and then he didn't, and I was
100%.
Very
disappointed.
It was very evil, sneaky music.
Yeah. I bet there was a musical number that was a culturally insensitive accent that they cut from 2003. Like, they had to be sat down to be like, I'm the Jabba Jabba man has to go. I know.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh. I'm going to miss it, too. It was a good bit in the moment.
Yeah. Given what they left in, I can't imagine what
out. Yeah. So, okay, so now we cut to Adam and Eve asleep. We zoom in on Eve's dream. Right now, this is one where I actually do know what's going on. So she dreams of white roses, and then she goes to pick one, but the thorn gets her, and she bleeds, and she bleeds on the rose, and the white rose turns red, right? And there's like a superstition amongst Christians that that's why roses are red, right?
Oh my God, I did not know that. I actually learned something from this recording.
Right?
Huh.
From this cartoon, no less.
I thought it just meant that like she's getting her period. This was
that's
like
that's
some,
also
like...
what I thought too.
And then she has this like bizarre nightmare about bleeding and roses, and then she wakes up frisky.
Yes,
which is always what I do after having a terrifying nightmare. Is I want to bone down, like
sure.
as you do.
Yeah, you cut your hands in a nightmare, and you're like, all right, let's get this going. Something's wet.
Oh.
No visceral. The visceral no. Actually, no. Hey, no.
So, all right, so Eve turns to Adam. She tries to ASMR him into a late night swim. I will say, almost anybody asking me in that voice to go for a moonlight swim is going to get a yes. I'm sorry.
Sure. It was. I mean, this is like the original Manic Pixie Dream Girl. She's just like, oh, let's go swimming at 2 a.m. because we just woke up. And it's crazy and it doesn't make any sense, but it's charming or whatever. But Adam, it's a hard pass. He's just like, no, I'm tired. I don't want to. That's dumb.
I got to sleep in.
You're this,
you're
already this archetype
naked.
Doesn't exist yet. I don't think so. No.
Yeah. No, I already did it for the bees, and like I'm just tired. So yeah, like, right. Happy period. Like it's just
yeah. I was whittling that stick for a while.
I'm not gonna be ready again until they invent blue Powerade, and I don't know when.
Okay,
that comes out.
It's
gray Powerade.
So she walks out to go on a swim by herself. A garland of flowers just wraps itself around her head to reinforce the manic pixie dream girl thing, and then she goes for a swim, and then the serpent. Like, tries to seduce her, right?
Yeah. They have this, like, dance number thing, and her eyeballs go all wobbly. Mm-hmm. Anybody else notice this? Like, in the animation, like, she is definitely on drugs here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, so they start dancing around, and then he starts trying to convince her that fruit from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's not actually forbidden. Adam was just talking shit.
Yeah, I wrote, the snake is doing the very first version of a Twitter argument. Any moment he's going to tell us that he doesn't trust Wikipedia.
But he's like, hey, maybe Adam's just keeping all the best fruit for himself.
And he's like twining himself around her as he's saying this.
Yeah.
Like they have gone past subtlety. And I just want to say, shipping Eve and the serpent, still less sketchy than Twilight.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he sets her down on the shore and she starts thinking, she's like, well, you know, God never told me not to eat the stuff. We learn here that she shaves too, by the way. Again, the animators are just like, fuck this, I've drawn enough bushes. Right? but then she gets the fruit and she smells it and it smells pretty fucking good.
Is this an apricot? Because she's holding the fruit. It's kind of like orange.
Yes, it's orange. Tangelo? It's an orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, Simon assures us something's going to happen, so I think we can afford to take another break. But first, let me give Act 3 the hard sell. Will Eve give in to temptation and eat from the forbidden tree? Will God make good on his threat to condemn mankind? Will God ultimately redeem humanity and usher in an age of salvation? Well, I guess you already know the answers to all these questions is yes, because Charlton Heston ruined it in the fucking introduction. But stick around anyway for the conclusion of Greatest Heroes and Legends of the Bible, The Garden
of Eden.
Team Snake of... Fuck, it was too late.
Oh, there it is.
I was so far past, I was so mad, and I was like, I can't get it in? Fuck! It's going to be out.
There it is.
It's too far. It's too
Something's
far.
Wet.
Okay, what about an extendable fork?
Like a gag gift.
Oh, this would not be a gag gift for him.
Hey, guys, what you doing?
I'm trying to think of a good Christmas present for Heath, but he's already got everything he wants.
That's true, he does.
Well, yeah, people can be pretty hard to shop for this time of year.
Tell me about it. That's why I'm getting folks set up with Mint Mobile.
What's Mint Mobile?
Mint Mobile is offering unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. That's their best deal of the year, a.k.a. the only holiday gift you'll actually use every single day.
That's true. I do use my phone every day.
Oh, man. I do not.
We know, Heath. Mint Mobile's best deal of the year is happening right now. Get a 3, 6, or 12-month unlimited plan for $15 a month. Plus, all Mint Mobile plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and phone number over to Mint. No contracts and no nonsense.
Now, that is a gift that pretty much anyone would love.
I know I do. I switched to Mint Mobile when they became a sponsor. Now I get the same service for a fraction of the price.
All right, Noah, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Don't get them socks. Get them premium wireless for $15 a month. Shop Mint Mobile plans at mintmobile.com/gam. That's mintmobile.com/gam. Limited time offer. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 a month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Over 35 gigabytes may slow and network is busy. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
All right, Noah, thanks. So, you guys ready for some fondue?
Oh, I'll get my extendable fork.
See, I told you. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Aren't you married?
Yeah.
To my fork.
Lou, 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 doing God stuff. God stuff is my favorite stuff. Lou, Lou, Lou.
Hey, God. What you doing there?
Oh, hey, Michael. I was just working on humans.
Oh, wow. You were going to do them in your own image?
Yeah. No, of course.
Right, right. But, like, these guys are going to be your special creations.
Oh, yeah. No, I made the whole universe just for them.
Yeah, it's just there are, like, so many animals that are better suited to survival with, like, claws, teeth, fur, all that stuff.
No, it'll be fine. I'll make them super smart.
Right. Yeah, no, smart is good. Smart is good. But you could make them smart and make it so they, like, can't get cancer, like sharks.
No, we're not doing the shark cancer thing. That's actually just a common misconception anyway. No, they're going to be my favorite creatures, so they're going to look like me.
Okay, will you at least tuck in their junk? They're just like dangling.
Fine. But I'll tell you what, I will tuck in the junk of half of them, okay?
Thank you, I guess.
See? You don't like my dangling junk?
No, man. It's super distracting.
Okay. Noted. Got it. But what if I cut off this bit here? You think that would...
And we're back for still more of this shit. We're going to rejoin the action with a moose poking Adam awake with his antler.
Okay, yeah. This moose is like, Adam, wake up, wake up. It's Eve. Like he's, you know, setting the alarm off for...
Yeah,
Eve
getting... like an old Yeller style.
Yeah, this trouble down at the well.
Energy. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This moose from the Serengeti was apparently like a paid spy for Adam. So he's going to run over and help Eve.
Yeah, the moose is like, hey, man, the serpent's trying to fuck your girl. So Adam jumps on the moose, rides the moose to the lake. We get full ass crack at this point, right? This is the first time we go full ass on Adam. I think the last time, too. It's a shame. It's a great ass. But then, like, we cut to Eve, like, still thinking about eating this fruit. There's thunder and there's lightning, which implies God's aware of what's going on here.
Yep.
Yeah, huge implications of this. So is he watching all of this happen and setting the mood? Because it was a beautiful night for a moonlight swim a few minutes ago. Now the rain.
Yeah. And then there's a very sexual moment where she, like, opens her mouth really wide.
Yes.
And then we see the serpent, like, sit back as though he's about to get his knob polished, you know?
Yes.
It's unmistakable. So again, it's unmistakable. They meant for kids to jerk off to this. So, but she eats the fruit. Adam's like, he's trying to swim to the rescue. He's yelling. He's like, Eve, don't eat the fruit. But she can't hear him over all this thunder and lightning that God put there.
Yes. Also, this isn't what happens in the Bible. And if I was this religion, that would matter to me.
Right?
Yep.
So she eats the fucking fruit, and Adam arrives a second later, and now she's all groovy, very like, she's acting like the acid just started kicking in.
Wait, there's not a moment in the Bible where it's like, is she going to eat it or not, and Adam, like, doesn't get there in time? That's not actually what happens in the thing?
Yeah, no, slow motion, tries to dive in front of the apple, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Can we talk about her hair? I mean, that apple gave us serious sex hair.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like it has Medusa-like sentience at this point, right?
Yes.
It's like it picks her, it picks him up and pulls him into the fucking tree.
She needs another washcloth for sure.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah, this has gone beyond like something about Mary level hair here.
Well, speaking of which, this is where she's trying to talk him into eating the fruit, and she says to him, and I quote, "If you don't like it, you can always spit it out."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cartoon.
She's like, I remember the moment with the stick earlier. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah. Give me your mist.
It's gone 100% college party, where Adam's excuse to God later is going to be like, yeah, but I didn't inhale.
Right. Yeah.
Spit it out? Oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... So he eats the fruit, and Mikey likes it. He's like, I want more. I am God. I am more than God. Right?
Yeah. Wow, that was some good shit. I want to know where they got that from.
Yeah, for real. Oh, yeah. That's cocaine, right? In case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have said, I am God. I am more than God on
cocaine.
Well,
and then you follow up, as they did with, oh, no, I'm naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, cocaine. Right. All the steps.
And Eve says, like, I'm naked. Why didn't you say something? I'm like, because he's a dude and you're naked?
Eli, we can't start the pajama party live stream until you stop doing that and put your clothes back on.
Just admit that I'm more than God and I'll put my clothes back on.
We had to do that.
So they start covering themselves with leaves, and just then God shows up. They jump. They've like really quickly fashioned themselves leaf bikinis, but they jump.
It's a bush for your bush.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. God Ollie Ollie Oxen frees them, right? And they're like, well, fuck, he's God. So Adam comes out.
Right. And again, I just can't emphasize enough what a crazy implication there is for God to go, where are you guys?
Yeah.
Well, that is in the Bible, though, right?
And what did you just do? Well, and then they're finger pointing at each other. Adam 100% throws Eve under the bus here.
Immediately, yes, yeah. Immediately. Well, also, like, let's not just skate past how weird it is, right, that God is mad at Adam that he won't show him his dick anymore. Right? He's like, hey, how come I can't see your junk anymore? I'm going to curse you guys for that.
Because it's got bee stings all over it. It's all swelling and shit.
That's not why it swells. I keep telling you, that's not why it swells. So he's like, yeah, no, it's Eve's fault. And Eve's like, it's the serpent's fault. And the serpent's like, it's your fault. You knew this was all going to happen, you asshole.
Yes. God actually says something sensible to Adam. I think what we're learning is that every character gets one thing to say that is remotely sensible. And God says, don't blame her, right? Don't blame Eve. Can't you choose for yourself? I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so the only good advice God
downright
ever
woke.
Gives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but then the serpent is like, I gotta go. And he goes to run away. But that's where God takes his legs. Now, we all know the story, so we all knew that was coming. But think about how horrific that is. If you're just like a kid seeing this for the first time and you don't know that, you're like, he took his legs? Like, because then he turns to Adam and Eve and he's like, oh, you know, I got to punish you too. And they're like, fucker, are you going to take their legs?
Yeah. Imagine being a kid born without legs watching this cartoon. Just like, okay, you bust into the kitchen and you're like, what did you guys do? Yeah.
Although, no, I have to say, if you're a kid watching this, you already know that the serpent loses its legs.
Yeah,
like, no child watching, like, no parent who has put this movie on for their kids is like, this is the first time that we have talked extensively
especially
about
a legless child, right? You got like that
so yeah, maybe not with a legless child, but Dana, I have heard stories from kids who like went to a friend's house, you know, or something like that, and that, and their like friend that they were spending the night with, like, bust some shit out like this on them. So I feel like at least some kids saw this or learned this for the first time.
Okay, fair point.
And before all that, the snake is doing all. He's again going through all of his voices. At one point, he actually says, "Let me at him! Let me at him!" Who is he doing this for? Right. What does he think is going to happen here?
I'm going to go attack the
Nyack, 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 nyack.
Yeah, right. So and the serpent's like, I'm going to get my revenge. And then he goes after Adam's balls, right? He starts slithering up his legs.
Bite you on the dick.
Yeah. But Adam shakes him off. And then God turns his vengeance on Eve. Mm-hmm. And he just says, Eve, you will know sorrow. We're not going to go into any more detail than that. You'll know sorrow.
I know this is a weird place for us to draw a line as a piece of fiction, but yeah, we're not going to talk about periods or the pain of pregnancy. That's the line we've drawn.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, you leave me no choice. And I'm like, I feel like you have choices, man. But he says that she will know sorrow and that Adam will have to toil for his bread. Right, that's the curse.
Which would you rather if you had a choice here? Pain and sorrow, or sometimes you have to go to work?
Right, yeah.
Adam kind of gets sentenced to late-stage capitalism, which I thought was...
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Right.
It's like, yeah, you're just going to barely get by, and then you probably... Yeah. End up voting for somebody who's worse for you. You're going to hate all these people, and it's going
to... Don't worry. After Noah's son fucks a crow, we're going to have someone for you to blame it on. So it's going to go great.
So yeah, but he kicks him out of the garden, and they're like, really? There's an out of the garden? He's like, yeah, believe it or not, I made a much larger, much shittier place in case you did the thing that I knew you were going to do.
And the angels are crying at this. There's a 3-second scene where like Eve starts crying and Adam starts crying and all of the animals start crying and they cut to heaven. And there's this random scene with these copy-pasted white blonde child angels and tears in heaven.
And that's why it's raining down below. Mm-hmm. That's why the rains began.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though there was thunder and lightning earlier. So, but then we get to, they see the gate of Eden. They're like, where the fuck did this come from? He's like, it's always been there. And then they go to leave and they're like, God, are you going to leave us? And he's like, no, I will love you unconditionally on one condition. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, these are some angels with fire swords who are guarding the gate now.
Angel babies.
Cherubim, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Well, he's like, hey, by the way, this tree over here, this is the tree of eternal life. And they're like, ooh, can we eat of it? He's like, no.
Come on.
Fire sword.
It's another tree of entrapment? You have two trees of entrapment? No, that one's a metaphor.
Yeah, that's a backup, right? One is none, and you want to make sure to always have your backup tree.
Well, Eve actually says when she sees a tree, is it another tree with forbidden fruit? I mean, Eve, read the room. That's not what you want to be bringing up to this guy.
Yeah, right.
He's been through that.
Well, I also love, because we see the two flying babies who are very angry, like two very angry flying babies, and then a sentient flying flaming sword that like actually backs him up. And he's like, you know, this tree is protected by the flaming sword and the two babies. And I'm like, I feel like the flaming sword is doing most of the work, though, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, man, fuck away the tree of eternal life. We'll fucking kill you. The flying babies are very intimidating, so I have to do most of the work.
I feel like the flaming sword isn't doing a very good job either. It's going back and forth like a windshield wiper. It's like a Mario level where like you just have to time it. Right? Like if you just time your run and like the sword swings and like whoop, I got it.
Yep, you're in there. Yep. You got it.
It's just like kind of like doing a kind of a thing, yeah. So then, as this cartoon depicts the literal fall of man, as they walk out of the garden to no suffering for the first time, the music kicks back in and Simon sings that same fucking song about how awesome Eden is and about how you should live, laugh, and love.
Hey guys, sorry, I was face down in the grass thinking about the 10,000 years that I tried to hold my breath. Happy birthday to me.
And then there's this magic gate. So they're wearing leaves in the garden that they just like hastily cover themselves with. As soon as they walk through the gate, they're wearing like Flintstones costumes. Like that was the best magic in the whole fucking show.
Yeah, because the the animators were like, we've done enough of this leaf shit. God damn it. They're wearing Flintstones costumes now. Yeah. But and they wander like all sad and shit for a very long time. But eventually they come across the stream and Adam goes, God is merciful. And we all go, is he?
Yeah, this is such an abusive relationship dynamic. He was so good not to go all out on us here.
Yes.
He's merciful.
Yes. Right. So yeah, so but then they decide that they're going to make themselves a house there, and Simon, you know, from the void comes back and he goes like, you know, they went hungry a lot and their house burned down from time to time.
Get out of the sketchboard, kid. Nobody fucking cares. You suck at saying.
And they made a yurt. They like somehow don't know what reflections are. But they know how to make a yurt.
They know yurts.
Like, yeah, yep. Pretty good yurt.
Like
yep.
Found agriculture or something.
Well,
like
yeah,
that.
Right. So we have a little montage of them figuring out planting seeds and watering them and scaring away the crows and shit.
Yeah, they figure out clothing too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Adam made himself. I thought this was a. This was a choice. He made himself a single shoulder tunic, like one shoulder exposed, one
Tarzan-ly,
shoulder
yeah.
over the top tunic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gonna show off.
Eve figured out laundry because she's a woman. We see her slapping a rock with some wet cloth. I'm not sure what that was supposed to be, but I think it was laundry.
It was laundry, yeah.
Cleaning her hair.
Definitely. Let this be a lesson to you, shirt.
Yeah. We literally watch grass grow. I mean, it's a different crop, right? But we watch fucking seedlings grow. They sure are overjoyed at that.
Did Eve make a river, like a second river, by pulling water with a cup out of a first river?
So I think that what they were going for was that she just put a little bit of water in the little furrow or whatever where their seeds were. But they're so bad at animating that it looked like a second river was spawning.
They accidentally animated too much water.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's amazing.
And then they animated this victory dance that they do when they see that the farming is successful. I guess they are growing weed because they're just waving their arms around like they're like they feel too long, you know? Like when I like wave my arm, like, is that happening to you too?
Yeah, right. How many arms do you see? But it's not all fun, right? It's not all laundry slapping and river making. At night, growly cat eyes show up and scare the crap out of them.
Okay, I enjoyed this moment where Eve's like, do you still have faith? And Adam's like, yes, do you? And she's like, yeah,
huh? Yeah.
This is going
great.
That's
why I asked, is because we both feel the same way.
We're both equally Christian.
But she's pregnant, and then Simon cuts in, the void kid cuts in, and he goes, and in time, Eve gave birth. And we cut to this incredibly, even for 2003, sexist, Adam was just standing outside while she gave birth by herself in the tent.
He's smoking a cigar. You have no idea how many plants I had to grow and things I had to invent to be doing this so that I'm not helping you while you give birth for the first time in human history.
What an asshole.
Right?
Yeah.
Babe, what are you doing
there?
This
is really scary for Eve. Yeah, and Eve's probably wondering, like, what the fuck is going on, right?
Yeah.
No one's given her instructions.
No.
She's just, like, the first time this has ever happened.
Could you see if you can gather up some bees and figure out how long this front poop's going to last?
This can't be how it was meant to go.
Yeah.
So then he runs in and she's got the baby all swaddled and she's fine now. And she goes, let's call him Kane quick before Mr. What About Hippopotamus can chime in with a name suggestion, right?
And this is the ugliest fucking baby.
Very ugly baby.
Yeah.
Very ugly
Kane
baby.
Kane never stood a chance.
It's the happy birthday on a piece of paper of babies. Like, they very clearly were like, I'm drawing this big old baby head. Look out. Oh, fuck. I need, like, I have 4 inches for the rest of the body. It's fine. We'll just do this.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
It's mostly blanket.
Yeah, but no one involved in the production of this movie has ever seen a baby.
No.
No. But then 2 years later, she has Abel, and we see this, like, this scene of Abel being born, and there's a quick, like, we flash to Kane at 2 years old with a very, I'm going to kill that fucking baby look on his face.
Yep. I needed somebody to address that and be like, hey, you saw the 2-year-old morph into pure evil just now, right? Like, so
right,
clearly.
Very clearly right. Pure evil.
And she says,
he's sharpening
oh, there,
something.
Yeah. She says, oh, there will be more mouths to feed. And I wrote in my notes, looks like you're going to need to pick up some extra shifts at the river.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she says, Abel has such big feet. I mean, you can just say he is a big dick.
Right,
I mean,
right, come on, exactly.
No need to hide behind that.
It's okay. There's no one else around.
So then years later, we get Adam. He's coming home to the hut where Eve is womaning him some food. Now, mm-hmm. at this point, it's Cain's 7th birthday, right? So dad goes outside to play catch the rock with Cain and Abel.
Cain sucks at catch the rock.
Yeah.
This is the original Little League dad playing catch. And he's like, Cain, you fucking suck. Eye on the ball. Get your cuts. It's so good. And I was like,
oh my God.
Okay, he's going to do a murder, and that's valid. I get it.
Here's what actually happens. Hey, do you remember when we talked about the flamingos playing moonball? No, because why the fuck would you remember that? Well, here's the callback to it, because when Cain misses catch the rock, Adam goes, now what do I always say? And Cain says, if flamingos can kick the moon into the sky, you can catch a rock.
He said he what? He that's he presents yes. that as the moral of the flamingo story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little
like
clunky for an angry Little League dad. You gotta like really tighten it up.
Times that he needs to be better. Yeah, and then
this was like cut from Aesop's Fables. This like did not make the cut. The one about the flamingos and the
are they
ball.
Talking
like, he's
about?
He's so fucking insensitive. He gets mad at Cain for being thirsty. At some point, Cain's like, oh, I'm going to get a drink. And he's like, no, you stay here and I throw rocks at you and you catch them.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes Heath's childhood when that scene happens.
Yeah, right. No, so but at one point, Adam actually says, and I quote, one day I hope you'll make me proud. Woof! Haven't managed it yet, but one day maybe you fuck
I did
up.
Eventually do it in my case. Fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, you my keep God. Telling
you have to
that.
Keep
it's
the
cops.
Okay. Noah, you have to keep the cops after he said that. I know Morgan's off this week. You must keep
oh, believe me.
Cops.
Believe me. So, yeah, so, and then, so, okay. So Abel has run up to get water for his thirsty brother, and he comes back and he's got a cut on his hand, so his mom is like doting on him a little bit, and Cain's like, I want to get doted on, so he bites his lip till it bleeds so that mom will dote on him too. So he runs in and Eve's like, that's not a real injury, that doesn't count, go out and get real injured and then come back to me, right?
These parents suck. And you know why they suck? Because their example of how to be a parent is
yes.
God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And God is a sucky
kicked
parent
them out forever for eating a fruit when they were 8 days old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, real talk, Abel is just like a disgusting saccharine disaster. I would want to kill
he
him
is.
Too yeah.
He's
just like
too
oh.
nice. Mm-hmm. I hated it. Yeah, he's like, yeah, mom, no, help Cain. He looks like he's really hurting on his fake lip bite that he did. It really looks like it hurts. You should help him. I hated him so much. It was like every new boyfriend of your ex and you have to meet him.
Yeah.
And that like somehow just by chance, like a medal falls out of their pocket and it's a purple heart and they have a Pulitzer and like they're really nice to you. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
And then you shoved him off a cliff that one time.
Yeah, right,
and now they're married.
So, and so okay. So then, so Abel is like, "Hey, Cain, let's go look at the frogs by the stream." And so they catch one, but Cain hates frogs, so he strangles it.
Okay, but here's the thing: he doesn't strangle it to death. He knows safe choking practices. He just chokes it until it passes.
Oh, you think
out.
This was just a blood choke, like sexual, with the frog?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And then the frog comes, and he's like, "That was cool. It's your turn." Why wouldn't he show him killing the frog? If it's not a sex thing, why wouldn't they show them killing the frog? Think about it.
Well, I honestly, when he was showing the frog, I wrote my notes. Anna breaks into the scene and beats him to death with a rock. That'd be yeah. great.
So frog wakes up. Something's wet.
Yes.
So no. Okay.
So then, thank you. So then, but now they're all grown up, and we see them giving God offerings. And again, this movie doesn't have the guts for him to strangle the frog. It sure as hell doesn't have the guts to tell us what happens to those sheep that Abel just offered to God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're supposed to get flayed open and have their internal organs taken out and have the fatty part removed from the liver. Actual Bible quote.
That's a lot.
And then set a flay. Yep. Mm-hmm. But the movie doesn't have the guts for that. Get it? Guts. So, he's like, God's just like, nice sheep. Also, Cain is here. Jesus. What is that? Fucking wheat? You brought me fucking wheat, you piece of shit?
Yeah.
Stupid. You're stupid and you can't catch a fucking rock.
And he says, bring me back another gift. Right. God's like, your grass sucks. Try again, asshole.
Yes.
It's
woof,
so
man.
Bad.
Like, you can not like the gift, but the, like, you can't be like, try again. Yeah.
Yeah, this is grandfather. This is like angry grandfather, not the grandparents we all want and usually mm-hmm. have. This is full on, bring me another better gift. Yes.
Yeah.
Bitch.
So, yeah. Also, this part is in the Bible.
Yeah, no, it is.
The part about God mm-hmm. being a complete asshole to Cain and saying he doesn't like his gift. Yep. That's in the Bible.
But you're supposed to earn love with success.
So, okay, but
hey, that frog felt really good, okay? He was really
yeah, no, he
thank
he
you.
Doing right by the frog. That's got to count for it. Something.
Yes. Did you see how hard that frog came?
Exactly. Come on. We here at Puzzle in the Thunderstorm
oh, no,
are
no.
here to tell you that frog never came harder.
No. Sure aren't. So okay, so then Abel, they're walking away, and Abel's like, I brought extra bread for everybody. And Cain's like, I brought bread for everybody. That's what you're selling, you fucking prick. And he pushes him off a cliff.
From like 6 feet away from the edge.
Yes, right, right.
This should not be physically possible. Abel's like, whoa, 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 I'm off balance, whoa.
He goes, you're going to knock me off of the edge if you keep pushing me repeatedly and I don't get out of the fucking way.
If I don't just put both of my feet down and stand up.
Yeah, right. But also, like, it's supposed to be a rock. He's supposed to kill him with a rock, right? Mm-hmm. I guess this chicken shit movie doesn't have the guts for that either.
I feel like he threw a rock and Abel did like a sweet catch and like threw it back.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
He's like, all right, fuck you.
Yep. So, but then murder. He pushes him off the cliff and he looks down and he sees that he's dead and he's like, fuck. Oops. So they have a scene real quick where he hides the body because they need for him to have the blood on his hands so he can wash the blood off.
Yeah, despite the fact that Abel was totally bloodless when he hit the ground after
yes,
falling
right.
off a cliff. Looks like, you know, just the usual like movie, like looks like he's sleeping. And yet he has yep. blood on his wrists when Cain drags him into the cave.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
So he washes that off and then he's walking home and God's like, hey, have you seen Abel? And a rain starts to fall, and it turns to blood when it hits the ground. And he's like, am I my brother's keeper? And we're all like, oh, he said it.
He said the thing.
It's a tagline.
Drink.
If he didn't want something bad to happen to him, he shouldn't have come to Canaan illegally. I don't know.
So God's like, I'm going to take my wrath out on you. You will wander homeless in the desert forever. And we cut to a snake or a lady in childbirth going, oh, he's going to run into the fucking desert. Oh, it must be really fucking hard. Like, goddamn desert.
And then he's like, oh, no, people will kill me. And he's like, I will give you the Mark of Cain. Now, to be clear, the Mark of Cain is part of the curse, right? It makes him immortal, so he wanders forever, hated by all, mm-hmm. right? But in this cartoon, they choose to play it as like a weird bonus. He's like, gee, thanks, God, and then goes whistling out of the fucking movie.
Yes, he's so excited about this. He's like, don't banish me. And God's like, I'll give you a cool tattoo. He's like, really?
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, right, right. But that is in the Bible, the idea that the mark saves him from people taking vengeance on him.
I'm actually really good at music and arts, Dad, huh? Music and arts? Mm-hmm. Forever?
Yep.
Fuck. Pip.
So, okay, so now we see Adam, and he's very old, and he's talking to God about how good he is at holding a fucking grudge. He's like, wow, man, it's been a while since we ate that fruit, but you're still sticking with it.
Still on the fruit thing. That's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, the fruit thing you knew about.
Yeah. But God appears and he says, Adam, I am always with you, even when I'm torturing you for eternity. And he's like, aw.
And I'm always watching, no matter what you're doing. You definitely are fucking again, and I'm definitely down for that.
Yeah.
So I saw you trying to imitate the mind-blowing orgasm that frog had. And sure, you...
Nope. So, yep.
Partner watching.
Now there's beeps.
Thanks to Puzzle in a Thunderstorm LLC.
I have the beeping ability. There's,
it's just...
No. You're just making me do more beeps now. So
Morgan's gone this week.
Yeah. So, but then, so he comes back in, and Eve is kind of getting sick of his tireless faith in God. And she's like, well, you know, God did just let one of our kids kill another one of our kids. And he's like, God can't control the ways of man. And I'm like, oh, I thought he was omnipotent, but now he can't control the ways of man. So weird.
And her point here is, if God loves us, Cain wouldn't have killed Abel. And I'm like, point to Eve. That is a great point, lady.
Yeah, right. Yep. Excellent point. She brings up the problem of evil perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, it feels like, are we starting a religion with like a ton of plot holes and we're going to need like tenuous apologetics? We're going to need like Ross Douthat to try to fucking do write books about it. It's going to suck. We're going to look so stupid.
Yeah, and God had just said, I'm always with you, always watching. Basically, effectively almost just said, yeah, I could help at any point, but most of the time I'm good. I'm good.
Right. I chose not to.
I was busy, like Real Housewives was on. Come on.
So, but then Simon the Void Kid cuts in to wrap things up. He explains that years later, a geriatric Eve had another son, this one named of Seth, and he didn't suck like Cain did.
Except that he had every single genetic defect that anybody knows about because his parents are super
old. Well, right. Lots of Tylenol with that like 200-year-old couple.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then the kid sings at us again about how wonderful the Garden of Eden is. There's, honestly, it's weird because in this song, there's like sort of an environmental message that would like never be in this cartoon if it was made today. Right. Like this cartoon is in a couple of ways too woke for today's Christians.
Yeah. And also, the song feels kind of ominous now that they've been kicked out and their child is dead, right?
Yeah.
Feels like you should be singing it in a minor key.
But no, this movie doesn't do minor keys. And the lyrics of this song are, and I quote, "We'll never leave the land of Eden." I'm like, were you not watching this fucking movie? That's the only thing they fucking did.
Leave the land of Eden. That's the whole point.
That's exactly what they did.
Left the end. But just in case you were wondering, if you were worried that the camel was never going to get a treat, Gimel the camel gets a treat right here at the very end.
I totally wanted him to do a Scooby-Doo. Nice. With this, I wanted him to suddenly like stand up on his hind legs and go like solve the murder mystery with the
I saw God be born.
I was in the void.
So all right, but that's it.
That's the catch-all for all of our shows, just so you know. The way that I've put he put it on the gram, I was in the void is our new sign off on all Puzzle Productions. I hope you're
all right,
okay.
No,
with that.
We'll see. We will workshop. All right, well, that is it. That gets us through the cartoon. Deanna, Marcus, thank you so much. You guys were so much fun to have on.
Thank you for having us. This was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just a quick reminder for our listeners, if they wanted to hear more from you or perhaps binge your show from start to finish in like 3 days the way Eli did, where should they go to find it?
So we are Wrath of Pod. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Such a good
all
name.
All the usual places.
Fuck.
And we are at Wrath of Pod on the socials.
All right. Awesome. And of course, we'll have that linked on the show notes as well. And while that's going to do it for our review of Greatest Heroes and Legends of the Bible, Adam and Eve, that's not going to do it for the episode just yet because we still need to do this again next week, preferably with something that has a shorter and less clunky title. So Eli, tell us, what's on deck?
A hippie and a cheerleader fall in love with God, then each other, during the Jesus movement that rocked the world. We'll be watching Jesus Freaks.
And may I say, it's about damn time, us. So, with that to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 532 to a merciful close. Once again, a huge thanks to Deanna and Marcus for helping us out today. Be sure to check the show notes for links to more of their stuff. And an equally huge thanks to all the Patreon donors that help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also help a ton by leaving a 5-star review and by sharing us on all the various social media platforms that you have. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, D&D Minus, and The Skeptic Crowd, available wherever podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Tim Robertson takes care of our social media. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. All the other music was written and performed by our audio engineer, Morgan Clark, and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bosick, I'm No Illusions. Promise to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the American Graffiti close.
The Serpent would go on to play several problematic characters in late 2000 movies until eventually retiring to become a U.S. senator.
Cain eventually realized that there weren't other people yet. He was fine.
Eve went on to manage a brothel specializing in furries.
the three crows filed a lawsuit against God for violating their eminent domain over that pile of dust, but it's unfortunately still tied up in the courts.
Charlton Heston went on to die and have his gun taken from his cold, dead hands.
Oh, happy ending.
100%.
Adam started a Substack documenting all the ways that it's absolutely Eve's fault.
Yes! Go with that one. Wait, what if the that. Sharks were circumcised? Then could they get cancer?
Oh, shit. Wait. There's never been a circumcised shark with cancer.
We haven't isolated this variable.
That's right. Thank you.
It's important.
This content is CAN credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm at their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.